Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast. My name is Garrett Lill. I'm a certified financial planner and former advisor. Through the Advisor Advocates in this podcast, I hope to be able to help advisors better understand the overall landscape of the industry by sharing with you some of the information that I've accidentally accumulated through my experiences and relationships developed over a 15-year career as an advisor and then as a consultant to advisors and firms. The financial services industry is filled with a lot of really brilliant people with intelligent perspectives and insights and just different ways to execute their visions. But a lot of this information isn't shared with other advisors because advisors and firms tend to stay very isolated, kind of living on our own islands. And this leaves a lot of advisors and firms not really knowing what they don't know about what else is going on out there in the industry. Hopefully by sharing some of these ideas and different perspectives that I've been exposed to, I can help you create a clearer vision for where you want to see your career and your business go in the future, and then help you make more informed decisions along the way so that you can hopefully see them play out. I'm very excited to welcome Adrian Grace to the show today. Adrian is a mindset and performance coach. You on your own business, on your own consulting business, Adrian Grace Consulting. You're based out of Denver, Colorado, is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, Adrian, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today on this. This was an interesting topic for me. A lot of the shows that I've done in the past have been around the business side and especially around M&A and transitions and things like that. But as I talk with different advisors and a variety of consulting type of work that I do, I start to notice a lot of commonalities, not only between the other advisors themselves, but also I see a lot of overlap between other advisors and what I myself have experienced being an advisor. And I've noticed a lot of us have sort of the same types of challenges a lot of times. And one in particular that I run into a lot, and I know I struggle with a lot and still do, is being able to stay focused on execution. Advisors are, we have great ideas. We come up with a lot of ideas. And I don't know how many times I'm ready to hit the ground running Monday morning or January 1st or whatever the proverbial light switch day is. And you're going to come out and you've got all these great plans. And as Mike Tyson says, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And I think that life has a tendency to happen to advisors. And we get there at 9:30, 10 o'clock and get ready to jump into it. And then a client calls or the market's down or whatever happens. And the next thing we know, we've forgotten all about those plans by lunchtime. So I'm excited about this conversation. I know that I don't pretend to know your business inside and out, but I do know that the gap between where advisors want to be in their business and where they are today oftentimes is a mindset. And it's not so much an ability or a knowledge. It's more of an ability to execute because of that mindset. So thanks for joining me on this and excited to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
You've got a really cool background. So you were on the hamster wheel of financial services for a long time. Mm-hmm. And during COVID decided, I'm presuming during COVID, that was, you said 2020, that was in the midst of all of that, kind of decided that this wasn't what you wanted to do and you had a different vision for your own life. So
yeah, so during 2020, during COVID, I just kind of increasingly had this, I'll just call it incongruency that I felt inside about what I was doing. I was wholesaling at the time. I had been with my firm for a long time, almost 10 years. But it just, my heart wasn't in it. And I had always had thoughts and visions of me running my own business as a coach kind of in the back of my mind. But I never let myself go there because I just thought that it was impossible. And I thought, okay, well, maybe at some point if I save enough money, then I can do this. Or, you know, once I retire from this, then I can do this. And I realized that that's just one of those things that we tell ourselves that really there is no future that exists. That's just putting things off for another day. And so I decided to make a change. So I left my firm in 2021 and started my own business.
I was looking back at one of your webinars and you talked about 95% of our results come from our subconscious. I played golf pretty competitively in high school and college, and I was always blown away at how much I could fully execute exactly what I wanted to do on the driving range before a round and then go on the golf course and all of a sudden I forgot how to play. How I could play really well until a big tournament happened and then all of a sudden I forgot everything that I'd been practicing. And I've also noticed in like this constant pursuit to improve my mental golf game over time that going through a very technical checklist of things to do before a shot didn't do me nearly as much good as things like visualization and having that confidence. And I think a lot of golfers have had that experience of, when you've got an hour and 15 minutes to finish up 9 holes and you have to play speed golf, all of a sudden you can't miss because you don't have time to think and you don't have time to get in your own way, things like that. But I think there's a lot of value in that and in being instinctive to some extent and in certain areas of our lives and our businesses to be able to kind of get out of our own way and just be able to execute without thinking about it so much. And I never quite figured out how to put that into words with golf, which is why I'm not playing on TV or anywhere close to it now. But I have noticed that even in my business life, there's a tremendous amount of value in being able to stay in the present and to be able to sort of act instinctively almost in a way. And I know that's something you kind of talked about a little bit before. That's got to be tied somewhat to that subconscious, I would think.
Yeah, so 95% of all of our behavior is subconscious. So what does that mean? Well, basically if you broke your mind into two parts, we have our conscious mind, which is, what we're thinking about consciously, we're aware of it. And then subconscious, which means we're not actually conscious of it. And so that's pretty wild. That means that 95% of our behavior is basically a program that we're just programmed to do it. So if you think about sometimes if you're driving in a car from one place to another and you've, driving to work, say, and you've done that drive thousands of times, you get to that place and you don't even remember how you got there because it's just you're on autopilot, right? You're running on a program. So yeah, that's what you're talking about. That instinct is coming from a subconscious program. So this is why too, when you were talking about that gap between, you have all these ideas, but why can't you execute them? Well, it's because you're not programmed to. And so you actually have to really change that program in your subconscious mind in order to execute or do the things that you want to do. And golf is so interesting, right? I mean, I love golf. I think I use it as a way to practice all of this stuff. But it's the only game, it's the only sport where you walk up to a still ball, right? So your mind plays so much more of a role than any other sport when you're acting on just reflexes alone and acting on that subconscious program. So that's why the mental game of golf is so important.
Yeah, for professionals in a variety of ways who focus on the mind in any way, whether that's psychology or mindset coaching or performance coaching, golf is a wonderful playground to learn and experiment with different things. I know I've seen so many things that kind of the closest thing that I've heard to it is the analogy of a free throw shooter in basketball is the same thing. It's when you are solely responsible for initiating the act as opposed to being in a position to react. There is, it's such a different program that we're working on, really, is kind of what it comes down to. So when you work with your clients, one of the things that I think we've talked about a little bit is controlling the controllables. I know that one of the biggest things that can bog us down in our daily lives, whatever it is we're trying to execute, is spending a lot of time thinking about things that are out of our control, thinking about things that happened yesterday, things that we're worried about for tomorrow, getting angry and upset about things that are totally out of our control. How do you work with your clients on staying focused and maybe even just taking a step back, defining those things that are in your control and those things that aren't worth our time and energy, and staying focused on those?
Yeah, I mean, I would argue the only thing that we can really control is what's going on in here, right? What's going on in our mind. And so if you're dwelling on the past, if you're anxious about the future, you're not even in the present moment and you're putting yourself into a really negative state. And what I've learned is that it's our present state of consciousness in any moment that is actually affecting our results. So if we're even taking action from a place of worry, so say you want to grow your business, right? But you're nervous, like you're worried about that you're not going to be able to make ends meet, or you're worried about the next bill, or whatever it is, and you're taking action from this place of fear, then you're never going to see the results that you want back, right? Because you're infusing that state of consciousness, that state of fear with your results. So it's so important to stay present, to really only control the thing, the one thing that you can control is your mindset, right? And is yourself. And when you do that, then you can learn to have a different state of consciousness when you're taking any sort of action.
The example I was bringing up from when I was 18, I had a huge golf match. It was the last match I played in my senior year, and I worried, well, the original match got postponed like 5 days because of weather, so I had a long time to worry even more than I was already. And I finally just came to a point where I had to just come to terms with the fact that, you know what, it doesn't, I can't control. And then I made a list in my mind of all the things that I couldn't control. If my opponent shot, the 9-hole match, if they shot 31, that was out of my control. And I probably wasn't going to beat them if that's what happened, right? Or if the wind just wasn't playing to my favor on every single shot, or if I lipped out putts or whatever, I could, all these things. And what I finally got to, it was a point where I just said, at the end of the day, the only thing that I can control is, was I completely focused for every single shot? Did I fully commit to every single shot? And I just kind of went into it with that mindset of, you know what, as long as I know that every single shot that I hit was with 100% of my focus and I was totally committed to it, then I will accept whatever happens, whether that's 32 shots or 48 shots, and we'll see what happens. And the funniest thing about that is that I spent a lot of time working on my short game over that weekend, and I have never hit the ball better in my life than I did in that match, nor have I ever putted worse than I putted in that match. The one thing that I spent time working on was the thing I struggled with, but I did end up actually winning at the end of the day, so it was pretty cool. But and I've spent probably 20 years since then trying to figure out how to recreate that on a consistent basis, because it is a hard thing to do. I saw something on Instagram or something a couple of years back, which is, it's like so deep, but it's so simple that we spend so much of our time thinking about the past or the future, which is ironic because the only thing we ever actually experience is the present. We are never in the past or the future, which is pretty cool.
It's really amazing how not present most of us are. We are just in this world, this culture of just, we live in our heads so much. Again, you're walking down the street, walking to the store or something, and you're just like thinking about all these things that you have to do, right? Or you're driving in the car and your mind is just going. And so it really takes effort and consciousness to become present, right? To ground yourself into the present moment, to just, I like to just focus on my breath, focus on my senses, right? What like you're feeling in the moment. That's how you can really get yourself into that present moment rather than having the mind run away with itself. And something I like to tell people too is what you place your attention on is what you're giving energy to. So if your full attention is wrapped up in your mind and the content of your mind, it's basically fueling your mind with more food, right? With more energy. And so then your mind's just going to run more and more and more and more. The more you can take your awareness and your attention away from the mind, the more it's going to slow down, actually.
It's funny too. My 12-year-old son is wired very similar to me, I think, in sports, in his mentality. And he's really into basketball right now, and we'll spend a lot of time practicing. And there's a time and a place to work on technique and mechanics and things like that. But there always comes this point where I can tell he's getting so wrapped up in all the mechanics that he's just not doing what he can naturally do. And I always end up coming back to just a very simple thought. Okay, look at the very center of the back of the rim. Just give me 10 shots and look at the very center of the back of the rim. And that's your only thought. When I was playing golf, it was always focused on my breathing, something so fascinatingly elementary almost, that you just have to, when you, and I don't know if that's necessarily what you're saying. This may not be the best question because I don't like to, I don't know, I don't want to set you up for a tough one here, but I mean, does part of that process end up being simplification, maybe more than anything else? Because once you boil it down to what you can control, we can't really control very many things. And that's a very liberating thing to figure out once you finally do.
Yes, simplification for sure. But so we have something like 60,000 thoughts per day that are going through our mind, right? And
Really.
I mean that's a lot. It's just nonstop all day. That's just what the brain does. Its function is to think, right? And so it's just spewing out these thoughts. And it's something like, I believe it's like 95% are the same thoughts as we had yesterday, and 70% of those are negative. So we're just wired for this negativity. We're wired for this like repetition of these same thoughts. And so it's about slowing down and becoming present. And to kind of take something back and even to talk about, you know, your son playing basketball or you playing golf, or why aren't you executing on certain ideas? Oftentimes, if you slow down and you get present with what you're actually thinking and what you're feeling in that moment, there's probably a lot of negativity in there. There might be thoughts of like not feeling good enough or whatever it is. And then that actually inhibits us, right? And that's affecting like why we don't take action on something, or it's affecting even the outcome of that action that we do take. And so, yeah, it is simplifying some of these things, coming back into the present moment, understanding what you're even thinking and feeling in any given moment, I think is really important. So, yeah, presence is really important.
I know for financial advisors, they may be very tied to a certain mindset of you have to be going 100% all day long at the tasks that are traditionally associated with having success, you know, making calls, networking, outreach, sales, marketing, whatever the things are that you're doing in your practice that you think lead to the outcomes that you're looking for. And this is a really hard thing for me to learn, and also a really cool thing to learn is that once in a while, I've grown to love just going on walks and just getting away for a second. It could be a 10-minute walk, it could be an hour walk, depending on the day. But I have noticed that there were some times that I just realized that I'm burnt out, I'm not focused, I'm not whatever, and I've got to get away for just a second, reset my mind. And what has been really cool to observe over time is that I may go on a 30-minute walk, and while I'm on that walk, from my mind freeing up a little bit, I suddenly see things a little bit more clearly, and when I get back, I now know ways to knock out these 14 things that I was worrying about before in 5 minutes, or do them more efficiently, and I've learned sometimes that just taking a step back sometimes helps me take 5 steps forward, as opposed to continuing to try to keep my head down and bang it against a concrete wall and get nowhere, and then just be more exhausted the next day.
Yeah, so I love the quote from Einstein that says, "You can't solve a problem from the same level of consciousness in which it was created." And so oftentimes we
Yep.
require stillness in this world of just going from one thing to another, plowing through that to-do list, just all this busyness. Stillness is so important. And so taking a pause, like through meditation, and I consider walking actually meditation, you allow space in your mind for ideas to come through. You change your level of consciousness, right? And so you're gonna allow like your intuition to come through and for a higher intelligence to come through to give you an idea on how to solve a problem, right? Or on what task to do. I think sometimes too, this is something I'm teaching in actually my upcoming course. Like we have this to-do list, right? We'll create like 1 through 5. I got to get these things done today. And we look at it and we're like, okay, number one, number two. But if we actually slowed down and tuned into the present moment and tuned into that list, one of those things would kind of like light up for us, right? We would be like, actually, this is the one I'm going to do now. And if you can just follow that intuition, you will get things done so much faster because your intuition is guiding you in a specific way that there's going to be more results from flowing in that way rather than from just the limited mind. Our mind is limited. Our intuition is actually has access to a lot more information than just this mind. And so the more we can get quiet and still, the more we can slow down, the more we can actually navigate through things with a lot more ease and come up with a lot better ideas to get things done as well.
That's something I've definitely experienced in my life and in the way I approach business. And it's just been fascinating to me that sometimes working harder is not necessarily the best way to get the outcome you're looking for. In fact, sometimes working harder is the worst thing that you can do. And you hear people, you know, the old adage, you know, work smarter, not harder. It's somewhat related to that in a way. But I mean, I can spend 40 hours just running around in circles and then spend 30 minutes on a walk, and all of a sudden something comes to me. It's the simplest little thing that you just sit there and think, how did this not hit me sooner? Because you were in your way.
Totally.
That's why.
Too much clutter in the mind. Too much clutter going in the mind. That idea couldn't come in.
One thing that you said on the webinar that I watched that I loved this, and I wanted to give you a chance to chat about this a little bit more. You talked about affirmations being such a popular thing, or maybe I'm the one who's saying they're a popular thing, but I hear so many people talk about say it and it'll happen. just tell yourself this and that'll make it true. Tell yourself this and that'll make it true. And you kind of addressed how that's not scientifically the way it works. So I wanted to ask you about that and kind of give you a chance to tee that up because I see that a lot. I mean, I can sit there and say, I'm going to make $1 million tomorrow, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And again, it kind of goes back to things that are not in your control. I mean, you can't manifest things that are out of your control into magically just happening for you because you said that they would happen. But I know people that do operate on that mindset, and they are just as counterproductive or non-productive in their days. I've seen it go both ways, right? I've seen people that just sit there and they stay in their way all day long, and that's why at the end of the day they've gotten nothing done. And then I know people on the other end of the spectrum that just sat around their office all day or around their living room all day and told themselves something would happen and never did because they never took any action at all. You have to do something, right? It's not, you don't just get to sit there and wait for good things to happen.
Yeah, well, a couple of things on that. So, I mean, I do believe in the power of manifestation, but I think a lot of people have a misconception on how to actually manifest. And so, the reason why I said affirmations don't work is, well, there's a couple reasons. First of all, when you say an affirmation, I could say, like, oh, I am wealthy, I'm a $1 million producer, I am this, I am that. You're doing so with your conscious mind. But because 95% of all of our behaviors, thoughts, perceptions are subconscious, you actually have to get that into your subconscious mind because it's our subconscious mind that's controlling the outcome, basically. But if you are saying, I'm a $1 million producer, but you're feeling, really nervous and they're full of fear or feeling not good enough, whatever those feelings are, is actually going to override those affirmations. So if you're going to say affirmations, you need to involve feeling in it. Okay, so feeling is the secret. You have to like really visualize, well, what would it feel like to be a $1 million producer? What would it feel like to be, making $1 million a year? What would it feel like to be running my dream business? And you have to get into that feeling state of it in order to plant it into your subconscious mind. The other thing I say is that action is the language of physical reality, right? And so if you're just saying affirmations, you have to take an action, right? So it's not really responding necessarily to just your thoughts, but it's responding to, what is that action? But that's why you have to infuse that take an action of the person who is running, your $1 million business, $1 billion business, whatever it is. Okay, what would they be thinking right now? What would they be feeling right now? And what actions would they be taking right now? And you have to really put yourself into that place and then take an action from there. And you will see a very different result in your life if you do that versus just saying an affirmation and sitting on a meditation cushion. That's not really going to get you very far.
Quick follow-up question on that. So how do you coach your clients to be able to do that? Because what I'm thinking of is, okay, again, back to golf. I told you before we started this, if you get me on golf, then I can stay bogged down there for a minute. I can talk about that for a long time. But I remember coaches that I would work with who at some point, after telling me what to do enough times and me not doing it, they would kind of step back and say, okay, focus on this feeling. Right, rather than thinking about rotating your weight to your right side without shifting too much, think about trying to create pressure on the inside of your right leg. As you're turning backwards, you're going to feel more pressure on the inside of your right foot down through your right leg, and then me finding that feeling, I would suddenly do it the right way because what they're telling me to do is to focus on the feeling that I'm going to feel if I do it the right way, as opposed to the action that's going to get me there. My question back to you though is, if I have never been a $1 million producer, I'm a $500,000 producer, and I'm trying to think about what would a $1 million producer do in this situation. If I've never been one, how do I know?
Well,
How do
again,
you get that?
yeah. So again, this is like where your imagination comes in. Your imagination is so powerful. It's such a beautiful gift that we have, and it's just like a muscle that if we're not using it, we lose it. And so you can sit in this place again of just stillness and ask yourself, well, what would it feel like to be, a $1 million producer? What would it feel like? And you can close your eyes right now and you can actually imagine that, right? You can kind of think about like, oh, well, actually I would be feel really confident and I would feel like I'm unstoppable. I would feel like, whatever it is, you can kind of get into that feeling state. I also want to remind everybody that the only reason why we ever want something is because we think we're going to feel a certain way once we get it, right? So it's not even that we want to be a million-dollar producer. We just want the feelings that are associated with being that. So you can tune into those feelings now, right? You can sit and imagine it. What would it feel like? You could journal about it. That's like another really good way to kind of get into that feeling. But just ask yourself, what would it feel like? What would it feel like? And we can use that trick to kind of get ourselves into that feeling state.
That's really cool stuff. Well, I'm gonna wrap it here because I think if I go any further in follow-up questions, it's gonna be hard not to get into deep little rabbit holes. This is really cool stuff. But really appreciate you taking the time to have the conversation with me. For listeners or viewers on YouTube, how can advisors get in touch with you, and what are some of the resources that you have available for advisors to learn more about you and how you can help them?
Yeah, so you can always follow me on social media on LinkedIn or Instagram. You can just search for my name. And I actually have some free resources. If you go to freegiftfromgrace.com, freegiftfromgrace.com, I have a couple free meditations on there that are really wonderful. They're just short 10-minute meditations. They're all about using your imagination to help get those creative juices start to flowing. I also have a document that's the 15 mindset tips for the most successful advisors. So there's always a common thread between the most successful advisors and what they're thinking. And so they can download that on that website as well, freegiftfromgrace.com. And I put out tons of free content on LinkedIn and Instagram just around mindset and how to really create our reality the way we want it to be.
Awesome. Well, wherever you are listening to this from or watching, whether it's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the website, the links to all of the resources that Adrian just mentioned will be in the description or very close by. So whatever screen you're watching this on or listening to it on, look below and there will be links to all of that content. As always, my links will be there as well for the advisor advocates. Would love to chat with you if there's anything I can help with. And if you would like to speak with Adrian one-on-one and learn more about how she can help you grow your business, those links will be in the descriptions as well. Adrian, thank you so much for your time. I had a great time doing this and I appreciate you graciously. I don't mean to be ironic with that, but I appreciate the grace of coming on here and speaking with me. Had a great time. Enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed it as well.